Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2015. This podcast is available at iTunes, and there's also some over at podomatic.com, but you can go to our website, which is krazfiles.com, always C-R-A-Z-Z for Kraz, and ton of our podcasts up there, with the new ones being displayed on the front page each week, so you can download them via RSS feed or play them, whatever you'd like. And a ton of stories also going up each day on the website to check out, so log on to the krazfiles.com. We're also over at Facebook under the Kraz Files and Twitter, so tons of stories and our podcasts go up over at Facebook as well. Also, thanks to all our listeners out there and people who log on to the website. Thanks so much, and hope you can continue to listen in and check out the website as we go forward. Okay, Tuesday the 24th of November, we're plugged in and ready to go with our guest John Friend. John, welcome back. Garth, you're there as well this week.
Yes, yes. tuned in for a...
Yeah, you've been busy, but we've all been running around crazy, but contacted John because he's been running around like a chicken with its head cut off as well. And sort of emailing each other, finding out what you're doing. A lot of important stuff as well, John, so good that you can... tune into the Matrix today with us and have a chat for about an hour and 15 maybe?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on. It's always nice being on the show with you guys.
Yeah, always plenty to go over.
World
events, Garth, as well.
Stirred things up, John, when if the Jews did 9/11, you certainly...
Yeah, no. Are you referring to that video that's over here on my side?
The photos of you standing up there with a placard saying that Israel did 9/11, you know. Garth sent me all those and said that you've got big testicles.
You know what? It's funny because this video, I originally had the original YouTube video of it, but I deleted my YouTube channel and a couple other people, re-uploaded it to their own channels, and I found it just, you know, I guess on October 28th, that's when I posted this video, because it had been a while since I'd seen it, and it was at the Occupy Wall Street protest here in San Diego, and it turned out to be just a really cool video.
Were you like a one in a million there? Because you know, all the 9/11 protests that you ever see, going right back to the whole 9/11 movement, and all the Alex Jones stuff and the loose change and everything we've talked about to you with you previously, you never hear a mention of, you don't even hear E or rail. You hear nothing to do with them. No one dares. Only you look like a lonely character out there holding up that placard.
Oh, yeah, I was. I was most certainly down there at Occupy Wall Street. But, you know, one thing that's encouraging is that, you know, the mainstream sort of 9/11 truth movement, they are really, I mean, it's pretty hard to deny the fact that Israel was behind 9/11 at this point. So, I mean, that is sort of a mainstream idea now, you know, at least among people that, you know, research 9/11 and that care about 9/11. You know, it's really not even a debate anymore. This is, you know, these are the people that did it. We can prove it. There's multiple books written about it. There's some great documentaries you can watch detailing this. In fact, it's funny. I was just I was over on Rents.com just checking the headlines prior to coming on the show here. And one of the headlines here was ADL censors Trump for factually challenged 9/11 claim. And the ADL is freaking out because Donald Trump is over here commenting about how there was, you know, Muslims and Arabs cheering, you know, on 9/11 and when, you know, watching the World Trade Center be destroyed. So I thought it was interesting because, of course, we have, you know, the proof that the dancing Israelis were, in fact, doing these things. So, you know, it's just interesting what Donald Trump is doing and some of the comments he's making and you know, the controversy they're causing.
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah,
It's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't he? I've heard good things about him and bad things. Many say that he's a very firm supporter of Israel. What do you think on that, John?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely does seem to be, you know, a strong Zionist. Like he absolutely. I mean, there's videos of him, clips of him saying how much he loves Israel and he'd be the best president for Israel, and he really likes Netanyahu apparently. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he genuinely believes all those things. He probably does, which is unfortunate. But at the same time, what he's saying, the issues that he's bringing up in this presidential campaign, his platform just in general, I mean, he is really saying some bold things. And, you know, pretty much all of his main policies run totally contrary to the international Jewish agenda, you know, this New World Order agenda where there's no borders and no such thing as race and we're all one big happy family, which is a total fantasy, but that's what they'd like us all to believe. Donald Trump is challenging that in a major way. And I mean, that's just that to me, that is the most important issue is immigration. And I mean, Donald Trump is saying everything we need him to say about immigration, including, you know, we're deporting all the Syrians. We're deporting all the illegals, you know, we're ending birthright citizenship. These people are going as soon as I'm, you know, in the White House. And I plan on, you know, holding his feet to the fire and making sure he does all those things when he is elected. And, you know, I don't want to say that he will win the presidency, but I think he has a totally legitimate chance at doing that. And I think that would be tremendous if we could get a guy like Trump in the White House just to see what he can do and, you know, really pressure him to follow through on his promises. And, I mean, to me, he comes across as very genuine. Yeah, I mean, he does have dealings with Jews and whatnot. And, of course, as we talked about, he does support Israel. And he's kind of like a neocon almost on foreign policy. I mean, except I should say, you know, he's very much against the Iraq war. And he views our foreign policy as pretty much a disaster, which it is, of course. But he's more hawkish, I think, than I would like.
He could be aligning himself with them because of the power center that they have. I mean, there's so many people, John, online that just blame the Jews for everything. Like, everything. Like, if it's we get a string of hot weather or we get a string of rainy weather, the Jews did it. You know, and, you know, the Jews are a huge part of the problem, but it's easy just to sit up there on social media and blame them for everything because you don't have to actually do any research. And, you know, someone like Trump could be aligning themselves with them, but that cannot always be a bad thing, you know. It doesn't have to be a bad, bad thing because we know that their central control roles in you know, Hollywood and security agencies, which you have, you know, it's quite terrifying, really, when you look at the U.S. They're in control of our foreign policy as well, so they're game players. It doesn't matter. You've said that to us before, you know, and it doesn't matter where you want to do business. It's always Jews in there doing business. That's what they do so well. So he is a businessman. He's a smart guy. And just because he is dealing with them, it doesn't need to set off alarm bells yet. You know, the Jews are a huge problem in this, you know, absolutely. But there's a lot of problems going on here. And I think that he's the only one that's at least coming out and saying something different.
I said this to Tom Goodridge on our last show. Obama looks like a zombie. He just stands there. He doesn't do anything. And we've got him here now with our new Prime Minister, Garth. They just stand there. And they all look like they're hypnotized, John.
He's terrible, man. He's just a disgrace.
It's just bizarre behavior as well. The guy looks mentally ill, whereas you got Trump, and it's appealing to people. It's appealing to people in Australia as well. And I think a lot of people here are fed up with a lot of issues. And he's coming out and saying things that no one has in the past that has been sort of taboo. And why not shut your borders off? It's obvious that you guys should with Mexico. You need to protect your country. And what's the big deal him saying that? Common sense.
Well, think about the main issues Donald Trump is raising with it. You know, in his campaign, his platform, he's talking about immigration. His immigration plan is perfect. I mean, it's really good. You know, maybe not perfect, but it's great. It's a great start. It's much better than what we've seen in, decades. So his immigration plan is rock solid. He's talking about the vets. He wants to take care of the vets. He's tired of these endless wars. You know, he wants to deal with, ISIS, which, is kind of a, I think there's more to the story than just dealing with ISIS. I think ISIS is essentially a creation of sort of the intelligence agencies and Israel, of course. And, that's a whole other topic. But he's also talking about free trade and how free trade is absolutely disastrous and how globalization is disastrous for the American worker, for, manufacturing and production in America.
Detroit.
We have to return to that. Yeah. So he's talking about these issues. He's talking about the corrupt nature of American politics and how it's just such a joke and how, everybody is bought off and it's all just a big party for these people. It's these people with the least amount of integrity running our government and running our media. And Donald Trump is basically saying that to millions of people all around the world, but especially in America. And I mean, he's saying some very bold things. How about when he stood up and challenged Megyn Kelly at that first debate? And it just announced political correctness, said political correctness is destroying America, and, went on to defend himself and make his points about his immigration plan and everything else. The guy's just dominating. I mean, he's head and shoulders above anybody else. I mean, no one's even in his league.
I think some of the other candidates as well have had to step up a little bit and start move out of the box a little bit. I don't know what it was. It was a few weeks back, maybe a month ago, there was a presidential debate where they were all standing up there. And I don't know who he was, you might know, but one of the guys, the candidate, smacked down the mainstream media. It was really cool. He said, "You're basically a joke," and the whole people started booing them. And these media people don't care, but it's really good to see that the general media like we have in Australia, the Murdoch media, getting a smackdown by these guys. So you do have some other fairly decent candidates up there as well, and you have a lot of choice, which we don't in Australia, which is a shame. But, I personally look at him, I think he's doing a pretty good job, and I'd support him if I was in the US because I think you guys that are a critical mass, you're at a critical crossroads here where you don't want your entire country to start resembling Detroit City,
right.
and these people are traitors, just like they are in Europe, just like Merkel is. These people are traitors to their own people, and if we leave it up to them, it's just going to fold and collapse and disintegrate. It's going to be an absolute disaster, and at least Trump wants to bring back that kind of old-school America that you guys
he's putting
used to have, where you, we're all used
America
to growing up with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's framing everything around whether or not it is good for America or not. And I mean, we haven't had anybody do that in my lifetime, certainly.
Yeah, you've had Obama and the Bushes.
Maybe like a guy like Ralph Nader or like one of these other marginalized third party candidates. Ralph Nader said a lot of really important things when he ran for president. But Trump is just doing it on such a huge scale.
It's a fine line here.
He's not backing down. I mean, again, everything goes back to immigration, and he's so rock solid on immigration. Everything else really is almost irrelevant when you stop and think about it. I mean, we need to get somebody in the White House that is going to stop this invasion and reverse this invasion of our country, and Trump is saying that he will do that. And we most certainly have the ability to do that. I mean, we have the guys in place. We could carry this out with ease. We could easily do this. You know, we have a brilliant law enforcement system, and you know, a lot of a lot of people that still do have a lot of integrity in these institutions, and we could easily do this. You know, I mean, it would take no time. I mean, Trump was talking about like a year or two. I mean, we could do it in 6 months.
It's a fine line, though, John, because, I mean, looking at your website now, you've got a story up there about wall-to-wall Jewish support for the unlimited Middle East refugees into the West. This is a Jewish plan, you know, and it goes way back in history. It's always the same people. Garth and I always talk about it. So this guy, as you said, we'll have to see, but he walks a fine line because you've got the immigration problem. You've got a lot of problems in the U.S. because you've got the immigration problem from Latin America into there, especially Mexico. And then you've got this whole Middle Eastern issue, you know, the whole thing that's happening in Europe. And then you've got Trump, well, okay, he's aligning himself with Israel and Netanyahu. So it's a little bit muddy. The waters are a little bit muddy there to see what he's actually going to do, if he's going to be fair all around and shut Trump everybody out, including the Middle East invasion. Because you don't want the U.S. either. You don't want it.
No, Trump has already said that all the Syrians and Iraqis, they're all going home as soon as he's elected president.
Good, that's great.
Yeah, he's openly saying these things. Now, this article, I just put this up earlier this afternoon, and, you know, this is just I've written this article like 4 or 5 different times, like different versions of this article, because these Jews just openly announce every day in their own newspapers that, you know, they're all supporting, well, not only amnesty for these illegal Mexicans, but, you know, they're demanding the United States and the West, you know, grant unlimited,
give your houses to them.
Unrestricted. You know, immigration to America and the West, you know, from the Middle East. It's ridiculous. I mean, literally unlimited and unrestricted immigration from the Middle East to America.
Yeah, cut your wrists open for them. Here's my blood. Take it. Take my house, take my car, take my life. Have it.
I know. That's basically what they're saying. Oh, but if you remember back in 2013 when, you know, everybody was demanding that we go to war with Syria, they hyped up that, you know, alleged chemical attack, which was total BS. But, I mean, there was literally the organized Jewish community, every single organization you could imagine, wall-to-wall support for the United States militarily invading and attacking Syria. And luckily that didn't happen. If you remember, Obama wasn't able to do it. But now the same organized Jewish community is demanding America take in all of these refugees, these quote unquote refugees, the same people they wanted to bomb, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago.
Exactly.
These people are the biggest hypocrites. And then over in Israel, they're literally arresting,
putting up
walls, and in some cases sterilizing these illegal immigrants over in Israel. You know, they're brutal over there. They'll arrest you, they'll put you in prison, and they'll deport you in like a matter of days. You
put
know?
A wall up to keep them out.
Oh, yeah.
But, and you know, the Europeans are racist if they don't take them.
Yeah, it's just the double standards are just so in your face and incredible.
So, mate, I know in Australia the government or certain government officials have actually gone – they were in Syria for quite a few months actually interviewing certain family people that were actually Syrian. This is from what I know. And there's going to be a small amount of them who are actually Syrian, proper Syrian refugees coming to Australia to relocate. But they actually went over there and interviewed these people before they were allowed to come here, and it was quite a strict process. But in Europe, they just opened the floodgates and everybody poured in. It was like, I've never seen anything like it, you know? And they're not even Syrian. It was just every man and his dog and his kitchen sink just pouring in there. And they let them all in, and then they... And then now they have these so-called... terrorist attacks, you know, and then after the terrorist attacks, the French government decide to lock their borders off. It's a bit late now. You know, it's amazing that even happened in the first place. I've never seen anything like it. I'm still shocked seeing something like that. You know, I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime, watching that, you know, that takeover, that complete bombardment into Europe of just all these people, just thousands and thousands and thousands of them on a daily basis, just flooding in there. no checks, you know, just going to whatever country they wanted to. With, you know, through the borders, it's amazing that that ever was allowed to take place. You know, I can't believe it, that they let that happen.
Yeah, it's pure madness. And, I mean, there were some – I was posting some of these YouTube videos, like, showing these refugees and what they were really like. And, you know, they're just these, like – they're so disrespectful. They're just, you know, littering and throwing the food that they're being given and, you know, the food that's being donated. They're throwing it away. They're trashing, you know, everything. You know, it's just incredible what
they
we do for these people.
In Finland.
And then they –
They weren't happy in Finland because it was boring and cold, and they weren't happy in the Netherlands either because the internet access was slow. And you got our media. It's worse here, John. Garth knows that. It's worse here. They're trying to make the refugees, us, feel sorry for them, and they're showing these. They're saying that these people are refugees, and they're wearing leather jackets, and they're talking on mobile phones on their way to Germany and Sweden, you know, and they're saying, you know, I don't like this country or that country. This country's boring. That country's too cold. You know, they're not giving me money to make phone calls, and I'm not happy with what they've given me, so I want to go to Germany, and you just shake your head.
I saw one video of some Arab dude complaining and crying because he didn't have any cigarettes.
Can you
believe the nerve of these guys? Like, they need to be deported immediately.
Immediately,
Garth. What do you think? How's like the media down there in Australia? How are they playing this? I mean, is it just the sympathy BS?
Murdoch virtually controls the media here.
70%.
And they totally 100% support immigration.
Yeah,
open immigration. And they're very, very, very strong on it. And they seem to have brainwashed all their Gentile reporters.
Important.
Which is pretty normal because Murdoch is a half Jew. His mother was a Jew. And he's always supported, as you know, his media has always supported Israel. But it's.
That's a sticking point, isn't it, Garth?
Because
a lot of people say that Murdoch's not a Jew or they're not sure. But from our research, he actually is a Zionist Jew on his mother's side.
That's right. Yeah. Although he's probably not considered a full Jew, like this present new prime minister we have, he's a half Jew. His mother was a Jew. You know, I'm not saying anything that's wrong, having a mother Jew. But from my observations is who they're supporting and what they're doing. I mean, our present prime minister, something like a decade ago, said Australia could support over 50 million people and we should be doing that. Well, if you read certain books about Australia, we just could not support 50 million people in this country. It's a very ancient, fragile country.
They want to live in the desert.
And that's been stated by some very clever people. Yet this idiot gets up 10 years ago and they've put him in power. God, can you believe that? And he's saying he's basically saying that he wants immigration as well. And now, recently, there's some cartoons came out from Pickering, who's one of our cartoonists, and he's pretty full on, John. He doesn't spare the rod, and he's put this new PM alongside Murdoch because they're both supporting each other. He's actually he's actually part of the Murdoch team, and that's maybe one of the reasons they got him in.
He's a playboy, John, our new Prime Minister. He's a total nobody. He's a millionaire. He's got shares in pharmaceutical companies, in Apple, in all these types of companies. And for some reason, in our government, you know, because we've had people in power come out and write books about who really controls our government, you know, and this guy's unbelievable. And the last guy was even worse. Tony Abbott, but we seem to have these shadowy figures in the Australian government that can shift and move around prime ministers at will without any public input. And so for some reason they didn't like the last guy and they brought this new guy in. He's just really a playboy, and the only thing he does is sort of stand around and wobble his head, doesn't he, Garth? He looks at the cameras and wobbles his
constructive. Yeah, there's
he's a real pretty boy, you know?
To support open immigration in this country is ridiculous for a start because it hasn't worked in any other country overseas. And it's not going to work in Australia.
No.
It's just common sense. It's not going to work here because we already have a problem. we had a built-in problem when the Europeans came over and took over from the Aboriginals, and that's always been a problem here. And the governments have gone about it incorrectly by paying the Aboriginals off, thinking that was going to get rid of them, which it has never done. It's never solved the problem. So governments can never seem to make correct decisions, and particularly with this ratbag mob in now that are being encouraged by the Murdoch press and all the prostitute people who are working for the Murdoch press with these articles coming out, you know, all the time, constantly about open immigration. This is really sad because it's not even allowed to go into the public arena for a public debate.
Well, Australia is a European white country, and it's a beautiful country that we have built here. But yeah, what we're saying here, John, is that our own government have always been traitors. They've always been against the people here. I mean, I can't think of a time back in history except for when we had in Australia a white policy, which only allowed certain white people from European countries to come here with skills to build and work, to build the country. But these people now, they're just out of control, and they have no idea what they're doing. They've got no respect from the people anymore. And I've sent you some things, John. We have a Reclaim Australia protest happening around, and we've got these guys fighting against the pro-immigration people, and it's just turning into a mess while the government's doing nothing about it, you know? It's we don't have any real leaders here. They're just really pathetic. We don't have anyone actually standing up and doing something like, you know, at least Trump's doing. It's a real shame here what they're doing to our country, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the problem is it's the same situation in America, in Canada,
Sweden,
in Western Europe. Yeah, I mean, all these European countries. Our formerly white nations, we the interests of our, I mean, really, that's what this, all boy countries put the interests of Jews ahead of the interests of their own people. In fact, you know, we're implementing policies that are totally contrary to the well-being and future prospects of our people as a biological entity. And this didn't happen because, you know, white people are stupid or something like that. It happened because Jews, and because white people have been corrupted by Jews, especially at the highest levels of society. And that has to be understood, and, you know, we have to deal with that. You guys were talking about your, you know, new prime minister. Over in Canada, they just elected a new prime minister. And I don't know much about this guy, but I put an article up on my site back on the 19th of October. And I was highlighting a report from the Times of Israel. And, you know, here I'll just read the headline. In Canadian election, support for Israel not up for discussion. So this is the headline of the Times of Israel. They're admitting that in Canada, regardless of whoever wins the election, of which power, you know, political party is in power, support for Israel is unwavering. You know, it's not up for debate. You know, we'll do anything the Jews want.
Yep.
And same that's here. How it is everywhere in the West.
Same in Australia. We're very close to Canada.
It's the
very
same
similar.
Thing.
Yeah. There you have it.
Well, and that's what it boils down to. So it's not necessarily governments can't, you know, do things correctly. It's our governments can't do things correctly and, in fact, work against our own interests when we allow Jews, you know, to tell us what to do and to control our governments and influence our government and media. That's really what the problem is.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Government itself isn't – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, John, it seems to me that from some of the stuff I've read that they cause in us a sort of a conscience that we have wronged them. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, because it's obvious with many of the historians who have written about it that the Talmud and all these ancient writings were done by the Jews themselves. Let's say the Levites, for example. I mean, Douglas Reed, in his great book, The Controversy of Zion, he writes at length on that, going back to about 500-odd BC, where they took it from the oral passed down into a written text, which became the Talmud, as well as many other writings. Well, all this is man-made, and it appears, from what I've read, is that they're doing that for a purpose, was to create the rest of the world to feel sorry for them. It's a sort of it might sound crazy to a lot of people, but the more I read into it, the more I understand that this is happening today because they want everybody to feel sorry for them as though they're the people that have been downtrodden.
Yes.
When in actual fact, when you look behind the scenes, they're the ones causing the problems.
Yeah, yeah. Some smoke and mirrors.
Well, and that's what this whole fake Holocaust story is all about. That's what it's designed to do. You know, it's an unlimited sympathy sob story. It's an unlimited cash cow. I mean, these people have a multi-billion-dollar industry, you know, centered around the Holocaust and the perpetuation of this fake narrative of history.
Mm.
You know, in fact, I don't know if you guys want to talk about this, but I was actually out in Washington, D.C. A couple weeks ago, and I was out there for like 10 days. I went to a couple different conferences, and I went to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and I took a bunch of photographs and posted them on Facebook, and I did a blog post on my website as well, but I'm going to do something in more detail at some point, but it was just an interesting experience for sure. I don't know if you guys saw those pictures on my Facebook page.
I didn't know, John. I must have a look. Are they still there?
Yeah. You can find them. My Facebook page is facebook.com/realistreport.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you just go to photos, you'll find it and then look for the albums.
Yep.
You'll see it. Yeah. And there's one at the John Friend's visit to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. So it was interesting. I actually did a video interview with Jim Rizzoli last Friday that I posted on my website, and we talked, you know, at pretty great length about my visit to the Memorial Museum. So if anybody's interested in hearing more about it, they can go, you know, watch that video. It was a really good discussion with Jim. So.
Mm.
But yeah, no, it was just an interesting experience. You know, it's typical, you know, that is what you were just saying. Like, they always want to be remembered as these innocent, you know, these innocent, benevolent people that did nothing wrong. And they're just randomly and irrationally scapegoated and, you know, despised by people. You know, that's just a totally distorted, you know, description of what these people are about and, you know, the problems that we've had with them over the years.
It's
yes, and it has worked, hasn't it? I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Holocaust has been in – I can remember when TV came to this country, we just got it saturated with the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely
endless. It's endless.
What I don't understand, John, is like I hear people saying – looking at Vladimir Putin – how he's gone into Syria now when the US wouldn't. And what I've sort of looked at is Syria's oil and massive natural gas reserves that Russia and China, for example, have a lot of interest in. So there's a real power play going on there. But a story that came out, I think it was last year, May the 5th, actually, 2014, from Russia was Holocaust deniers in Russia now face 5 years in prison. This was Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law on Monday. That was back then, making this a crime.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm like, what's going on here?
I remember reading about that. Yeah.
I mean, Holocaust denial in Russia gets you 5 years prison? I mean, you won't get that in Australia. That's crazy.
I know. Well, it's just like Germany and France and some of those other European countries. Well, I mean, there's what? Like over 20 countries, I think it is? Where you can literally go to jail for questioning
something that never happened.
Yeah. Well, not even necessarily just for denying it. I mean, if you even like question
or talk about it
slightly,
someone,
or like someone talk critically about it, I mean, you can go to jail. That's incredible.
Could be just at the pub having a beer and saying to someone, you know, I didn't believe that happened or whatever, and they could dob you into official. Yeah, you're gone.
You know, the law that was passed in Russia, you know, I don't really know what to make of it. There's a website I follow called tomatobubble.com.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, Mike King. Yeah, I've interviewed him multiple times, and I've actually met him a couple times. Well, I'm sorry, I've met him one time. Really good guy. He puts out a lot of really good material. And he's really big into the Putin situation. He wrote a whole book about Putin. It's called The War Against Putin. You can find it on Amazon or just on his website. But he had an interesting take on you know, that law. And, you know, he was kind of making an argument that it was designed to actually crack down on, like, radicals that were trying to undermine Putin or something along those lines. You could, I'm sure you could find it if you, you know, went over to his website and did some digging. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was an interesting take. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, obviously it concerns me, you know, as a revisionist. Well, not, yeah, as a revisionist, as just somebody who deals, you know, as scholarly as possible with World War II. And I mean, if you look at World War II from a scholarly perspective, it's very clear that, you know, our perspective is, you know, much more tenable and, you know, makes much more sense than the mainstream version of World War II, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, it is concerning when, you know, certain countries are criminalizing, you know, thinking critically about things. That's total tyranny.
It's happening a lot now, Garth, because I just said to you earlier, John, I tried to post one of your website's articles on my Twitter feed and it wouldn't let me. And I had someone contact me over an article I put up on my Facebook page, which feeds to Twitter. And when you clicked on it on Twitter, it just says, Garth, that this is not available or has been taken down, when I never did that. But I directly tried to post one of your articles, John, and it wouldn't let me. And then I tested another article and it would. So I've had this, Garth, quite a bit. When you try and look for things on the mainstream Googles and all this, you can't find them or they're taken down or whatever. But if you try on a alternative DuckDuckGoGo or something like that, you get them okay. But generally, that's a little bit creepy. You know, John, because you feel like you're being stalked digitally, you know, on the internet when you're doing everything. Because when we talk with Don Fox, we've spoken to Don a few times, and especially with his 9/11 stuff, he's pretty full on. But when I go onto onto our website and I look at just who's been logging on to have a look and the stats, after Don's been on, it's probably Israel Tel Aviv is the second or third highest checking out our website as well, Garth. So, and then when, you know, because we cover a lot of different issues, John, we're doing a lot of issues on vaccines, this other assault on the human race. We do a lot of that and things. And then, but certain information like you might have on your website or whatever, you can really see that there's a restrictive sort of flow going on there inside the internet, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter. Unfortunately, you know, Twitter and Facebook is Google, YouTube is all Jewish controlled, as we know. So we're just trying to sort of use that as a positive tool to get our information out, because so many people are on it and it works, but it's very restrictive as well. Janice Barcelo, our friend, who put up a story on her Facebook page about circumcision, which is Jewish, about these little boys being tortured, because that's what it is, held down against their will in hospitals and having half their penis chopped off. And this little boy, actually a photo of him clenching his fist, John, white fist, clenching his fist, and they've got him muzzled, this poor little boy, and they're chopping his foreskin off. I mean, this is absolutely barbaric, and she put that up, and she got banned, I think, for a few weeks, and so I had to do some posting for her. But we can see what's going on here, you know, and it's quite creepy.
Yeah, you know, I've had issues with Twitter in the past, and I think it's – I don't know. I really don't know what the deal is. I think somebody basically, like, complains about my account, and then
they
complain about the – it's actually the link, like, my web, like, therealistreport.com,
yeah,
which is
– it breaks.
Tied, right? Yeah. And then it won't let you tweet anything from my site because it claims it's spam.
That's what it said, yeah, and I tested a few times. It claims it's spam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so that's even if you go back into the – before this this new media – the Jewish, I mean, it was written on many, many people, authors wrote about it, how it was particularly the Jews who were actually stealing important books out of libraries, big libraries, et cetera, et cetera. So it's something that's been going on, the oppression of knowledge with anything concerning that may concern the Jews, you know, in a sense that wasn't agreeable to them.
and they just chop it up.
It's quite crazy because in the book I mentioned earlier, The Controversy of Zion, Douglas Reed wrote the book, and he died long before it was ever printed, and then it was printed by it wasn't printed by the normal press. They wouldn't touch his book. But he mentioned in the book that the Jews were doing that. They were going into libraries and stealing certain books. So it's a long-term thing with these people. They don't want us to know the truth about them, how they operate. Mm-hmm. It's very strange that they keep getting away with it.
Yeah, it's an untouchables.
They're untouchable. They can do that. I mean, if anybody else did that, they'd be brought to justice very quickly. I mean, we're talking very expensive books here. We're talking ancient books. These are not just novels that were shoved out. These are historical remnants, you know. And these people are doing this on a broad scale,
and twisting and changing and distorting any information that we are given anyway. But anyone who tries to sort of break through that and sort of go around the other side, you can see that they're shutting you out and, you know, blocking you out of it, you know. So it's,
and yet they come into places like America and Australia or in Europe and that, and they want open immigration, they want everything destroyed, they want the cultures destroyed, and yet, as John mentioned earlier, you can't get into Israel. And if we went into their libraries and started ripping their books off the shelves, there'd be all sorts of penalties to pay.
That's the thing, John, as well, that I spoke last week with Tom Goodridge about that, you know, like, you know, in regards to the Syrian people and the Iraqi people, they have some beautiful cultures there and you know, in the Middle East. And I do feel sorry for these genuine people who are having their homelands blown to bits. At the end of the day, you can't blame Western countries for it, and we can't take them all, you know. But you can see what's going on, these wars that are created, and not only do they get access to all these oil fields and natural resources, but they create these massive refugees, and then they create these sort of cause and effect so-called terrorism, you know, sort of problem reaction solution scenarios. They always offer the solution or steer everyone towards their own solutions, and then these refugees pour into other lands. You can see that there's an absolute method behind it, and that it's absolutely control what's going on. But, you know, like what makes me really angry in Australia, Garth, and the way our politicians, John, they speak, I mean, as Garth said before, we have all these Western white Australian people, a lot of attractive young blonde women who are getting up here for the Murdoch media, attacking us and saying that we should be really just opening the doors in Australia and letting them all in, and that we're racist. And you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, you're prepared to sell out your own heritage and your own morals and your own dignity and your own heart and soul because you work for the Murdoch newspapers and you're just a stooge anyway, you know. So, you know, white people in this respect are a huge problem. You know, we can't defend them as well because they're the enemy in a lot of ways, and they're a big problem in Australia, and they seem to have sold everything out for the Murdoch press and want to get up there and distort and lie and spit out this venomous propaganda all over the place, and it's really baffling. But, you know, it makes me really angry, John, because, you know, I don't want to go over to Syria or
we're white
Western countries, and it's just, you know, we've got to take everybody because we're white and we're a Western modern country and we're wealthy and you have to take them. But you tell me, John, what's going to happen to you if you go over to Lebanon or some of these strict Muslim countries and start preaching Christianity? What's going to happen to your hairdo? Your hands are going to get cut off, my friend. You know, you're not allowed to do that over there.
Try going down to Mexico as an American and try to, you know, start claiming benefits, and you want to have citizenship, you want to start influencing politics, they would deport you so quickly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're the only people that allow our countries to be overrun, and we allow ourselves to be manipulated by this emotional,
and you lie
down. Universal propaganda. It's just ridiculous. And you were talking about, you know, how you guys have a problem with traders down in Australia. Let me tell you something about traders. We have some of the worst ones here in America.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you – have you guys read that book, For My Legionaries by Cornelius Codrianu? He was this Romanian nationalist, very much Christian. It was basically a Christian, like, national socialism, you know. But, I mean, it was in Romania. It was a Romanian nationalist movement. And it's just a brilliant book. It's right up there with Mein Kampf. It's absolutely a must-read. It's, in my view, actually, I like it over Mein Kampf because it's shorter and it's just as powerful and it's just very well-written and just a very powerful book. But he talks about how if he had the choice of – dealing with an enemy, like a Jew that's subverting his country, or with a Romanian traitor, he would deal with the traitor first and foremost before he ever even tried to make a move against the enemy. And that's so true. I mean, that really is true. Mm. These traitors are just disgraceful. And I mean, that includes pretty much every single member of Congress. You know, pretty much everybody in the executive branch. I mean, at least at the highest levels. I mean, the people, the sort of, you know, 9-to-5 people, you know, what? Who knows? But definitely the people at the very highest levels of our government are total traitors, by and large, generally speaking. And, you know, they need to be viewed as such because that's exactly what they are. Mm. I mean, the fact that in America, what kills me, and I mean, this has always been something that has driven me, is we don't have a single person in Congress openly saying the fact that Israel was behind 9/11. We have nobody saying that. We have nobody saying that, you know, all these crooked Jewish bankers on Wall Street robbed our government, robbed our treasury, you know, with this whole bailout fiasco. You know, we have no one in Congress demanding the arrests of these criminal Jews that have subverted and destroyed our country. You know, it's terrible. It's all a bunch of traitors. And then now we have Donald Trump, you know, making some moves. So we'll see what happens with that. But
and these traitors they're not all Jewish, are they? I mean, they're American people, and they're doing that to their own country. So maybe, as you said, what a good thing is to do is try and get these people out and install better people, and then go for the actual Jewish. You know, hand behind the system, right. The hidden hand. Yeah.
Well, a Jew cannot be a traitor because I view a traitor as somebody of your own,
tribe
or your own race that is, you know, undermining and betraying, you know, the larger community, the larger nation. A Jew is, you know, a totally foreign racial element, you know, parasitizing off of your society, and that has to be understood as well.
Like a tick.
You know, like a tick, yeah. I mean, these people are subversive. You know, unproductive, you know, they're exploitative, they're deceptive. I mean, I could go on, but, you know, I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. the crazy thing, that's why they've instilled, I'm sure, that why people support them, John, because I think they've given us a conscience as though we owe them. You know, through the ancient writings, like the Bible, for example, and many of the other writings, as though we actually have persecuted these people all this time.
Right.
I think this has played against us because these religious people, and I know them, I know some religious people who had a go at me. They say, "You don't like Jews. What's your problem?" You know, and it's crazy.
Well, I think that there's a huge misunderstanding and distortion of what the Bible actually really says and who it's actually, you know, who the people of the Old Testament, for example, really are. And I'm not sure if this is a topic you guys have really gotten into too much, but it's something I find interesting and actually quite convincing. I don't think that the Jews are the ancient Israelites. I think that the people we know as Jews today, I think that they are, in fact, the adversaries of the ancient Israelites described in the Bible.
Yes.
Like a clone.
I'll go along with that because
I agree
with that because the tribe of Judah, when the others sort of blended into the rest of the world, the other tribal systems, Judah stayed separate. Mm-hmm. The tribe of Judah stayed separate. And that was because, according to Douglas Reed anyway, because the religious, the men in frocks, controlled them with a rod of iron. And, you know, Kevin McDonald talks about that, how the Jewish intellectuals at the center of all this control everything.
It's an infiltration.
Well, the intellectuals, are they the still these same Levites?
Yeah, yeah, I've read quite a bit about this as well.
This is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and I think you know, a lot of what you're saying is true for sure. You know, that's the thing. Like, these people, you know, I think they've basically impersonated white people's identity. In fact, because I think that you can trace the white race back to the ancient Israelites. I think that this is actually pretty well established at this point. You know, by archaeology, by history, by ancient Roman historians, Greek historians, and also, I mean, there's other ways to demonstrate this. Language studies, for example, there's kind of a lot to this, and I do find it convincing. I'm you know, interested in alternative ideas and perspectives, but I do find that this pretty convincing, that, you know, really the white race, you know, at least like Northwestern Europeans, you know, Anglo-Saxons, whatnot, Germans, you know, these are the actual ancient Israelites described in the Bible. And if you look at the Old Testament, I mean, the one thing that's very clear is the Old Testament is simply a history and a detailing of a God's relationship with a particular group of people. It's very exclusive if you read the Old Testament. It's like, you know, describing God's relationship with one group of people versus other people that, you know, were in the world and were sort of hostile and contrary to this exclusive group of people, right? And I mean, I think that's really the proper way to understand the Bible, the Old Testament and even the New Testament. But I mean, you know, that's just my own personal opinion. There's, I'm sure, tons of people that disagree with me.
I think
it seems to be what you were saying is correct, John, there was definitely where the Israelites, if you like, assimilated across as they spread out, and this same tribe of Judah stayed itself. Now, what interests me is, where did this tribe of Judah, because they were always separatists, right from day one, and they used to sacrifice their firstborn to their god and all this sort of thing. They were criticized that in the ancient writings for doing that. And, you know, these other tribal systems wouldn't have anything to do with them.
This is satanic element, Garth. This satanic darker element, it seems to be. Yeah, yeah. It's infiltration.
My interest was, where did they come from? Where did this tribe of ratbags that were killers and, you know, they just came into the Middle East there a long time ago? Do you have any knowledge on that, John?
You're talking about like the founding of the State of Israel? When they really got established?
More so there was many tribal systems that was in that part of the Middle East, going way, way back. And tribes like this tribe of Judah, that, from what I've read anyway, were always separatists. They were different. They were they were killers. They did things that, you know, whereas the other tribes worked together or tried to blend together, they didn't. And it was in an era where some people or some scholars tend to think that they were looking at the one God syndrome. You know, for some reason, I don't know where that came up, but they were
monotheism,
monotheism,
right?
And whereas they rebelled against it, but they weren't communal. They were doing some dreadful things. They were thieves. They were killers. Just right across the board, this particular tribe.
Oh, but, you know, I'm really not too sure about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't find anything where they came from.
Yeah, where they actually stem from.
Where they actually stem from.
Because the mindset, well, you know, different.
I did an interview with a guy named William Fink of Christogenia.org, and this was a while back. It's going to be available on my website soon. I'm actually updating my website right now with all of my old shows.
Looks good, by the way.
So, oh, yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's I really like it. Kyle's been a huge help. So.
Kyle Hunt at Renegade Broadcasting. Yeah. He does beautiful websites. Yeah. Good on you, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I interviewed him. I can't remember exactly when it was. I want to say it was in like 2013 I think it was in 2013. And it was a really interesting discussion. We get into the origins of the European peoples and, you know, to me, I think it's pretty overwhelmingly demonstrated that our origins are, in fact, in the Middle East, you know, in Central Asia, you know, Mesopotamia, that area, you know, we spread out into Europe, you know, over time. That would be a show you may want to check out. And once I have the archives totally available and live on my site, you know, I'll make a note of that and try to send it to you because you'd definitely, you know, find it interesting, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes, very much so, because there's not a lot of information on that particular tribe, you know, because they say that they were booted out of Egypt and all this sort of stuff, but it's not making a lot of sense. And this Moses, you know, the more I find out about him, the bigger chance that he didn't even exist.
Murky waters.
It's murky waters, all right. And I mean, David didn't exist, according to Douglas Reed. Solomon and David were made up by these Levites. So there's a lot of this history which is being shoved down the throats of particularly religious people, particularly white religious people. That's just a lot of crap.
That force you talk about, Garth, the satanic force that was, just with Thomas Goodridge's book Hellstorm, John, the mindset behind what was done to the German people. And this was this rape and torture and agony and death and stuff that was done to these people near the end of World War II. If people have read that book, it's a horrifying book. It was done by white people. Who came into there, but it was the what interests me and Garth always is the mindset behind what drove that. And also we hear that around
it's propaganda. It's Jewish propaganda.
Exactly,
that
and they made the people do that. But they got off on it. But there seemed to be also an infiltration, an almost satanic infiltration into the Vatican around that time after that happened as well. Garth's mentioning this here, which is very, very interesting. There seems to be an entity or a force here that goes way back in history that we can't put our finger on where they came from or who created them or what they are. And this force is very, very extremely evil and extremely dark, and it's still with us today, committing all sorts of problems all over the world, and the false flags all going on now in Paris, and divide and conquer sort of technique. They're in control of our money, everything, and it's really a creepy thing, and we sort of can't put our finger on sort of where it came from or what it really is or what's running it and if it's even human. I know that sounds crazy, but when I look at what was done to Germany and that kind of savagery, for us to even think what was done to them, I mean, I struggle even picking up that book and going through it. I just can't believe that human beings could do that to one another. And this is what these people do. I mean, this is what they're doing to people in the Gaza, incinerating them, sitting up there on couches, drinking beer, cheering it on, while women, children, elderly people get incinerated and their heads and arms and limbs blown off everywhere. You know, I mean, melted into the ground, and these people sit up there in Israel and laugh about it. And this type of mindset, I don't understand it. You know, I really don't.
Well, it's, I think, I mean, I think you're right. I think it is a very evil or satanic or however you want to describe it. Evil, I mean, is a good way of putting it. A very evil mindset, and we're dealing with a very evil force.
And it's not all Jews, of course. You know, there's a lot of great Jewish people out there who are on our side, and there's a lot of Jews who are persecuted in Israel. You know, it's isn't there, Garth? There's something there behind the mirror of time. That's been involved in John in all the walls. And it seems to me that they're feeding on fear and human suffering and misery. And you look at the Paris attacks now, and they're locking down all these parts of Europe. And we're getting in Australia, it's just fear, 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 fear. And that's what these people seem to create and thrive on.
That's the common element.
Yeah, yeah, it's very common, isn't it?
And psychological terrorism. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and they thrive on it.
That's what they're best at. And that's why the media has got to go. People got to turn off this television and stop even really consulting it. Because, I mean, unless you're really paying attention and, you know, have the ability to go through all this information and figure out what's what, you have no business watching the television, because it is nothing but Jewish propaganda designed to program you, designed to psychologically terrorize you and emotionally exploit you in every way imaginable, especially when it comes to politics and current events. But I mean, we see this with marketing and, you know, commercials and television. I mean, it's just one gigantic weapon of mass deception. That's exactly what it is.
Sad, isn't it? I was just seeing, to change the subject a little bit, John, I do watch the news and things, because we do this podcast, and I like to it's so stupid, I know, but I'd like to watch what they're doing so I can break it down and chat about it and tell people about what they're doing. But I don't take any of it seriously. I don't know what the television's doing to my brain subconsciously. You know, this inbuilt weapons inside the TVs, and, you know, I don't like them at all. They're weird, but I like to sort of break it down. But there was a program this morning I was watching from America, and I've kept an eye on this. It was a young girl who was bullied, John, on social media, Facebook and stuff, and she hung herself in American people, our listeners out there, and your listeners might know about this, but she hung herself, she killed herself in a bedroom. And then after that happened, all these young people, like, you know, kids from the school or whatever, the trolls, they got online and were calling her on her family's social media pages and stuff a whore and a slut and all this stuff, and that they hope she's rotting in hell with worms coming out of her eyeballs and all of this stuff, John. And I look at this and I look at the way society's going and what's happening to our young people, the war on their minds. And, you know, you look at that imagery and that that phrasing of that this girl who killed herself is a slut and a whore, and that instantly tracks me back to pornography, Jewish-controlled pornography, because all it is now is rape and torture, Garth. It's brutal gang raping of young women and strangling them to their blue and calling them whores and sluts. And so now, John, no one wants to talk about this. No one wants to talk about it. And so parents are sitting there making dinner and their young boys or whatever are upstairs doing this trolling on Facebook and Twitter. It just defies belief, because, you know, when I went to school, it was pretty tough. And if you said something about someone, you'd probably end up behind the toilets after lunch or after school getting a broken nose, you know. But these kids now, they're trolling on Facebook. You get them, we get them. And they're so vicious and nasty. And it defies belief to me that these kids are playing these incredibly violent video games where they're getting the facial and eye features very exact now, and they're watching this brutal gang rape pornography, which is Jewish control. I don't care what anyone says. They control the industry. And these young 10-year-old, 15-year-old boys are watching this, and that's how they're viewing girls. And this is a war on the minds of the people, and it's a war on white populations as well. How we view each other, and this is how they're getting us as well, because the Jews have admitted openly that pornography is a war. It's a weapon that they use against Gentiles. And I saw this story, and it saddened me so much that young people are killing themselves because they're being bullied and terrorized on social media, and then they're being treated like that. I really hope that our young people, who we need the most, can stand up and sit up and get their dignity and their honor back, and really help us in this fight to get our lives back, John, because it saddens me to see that, you know, that they're watching this stuff, you know, it's terrible.
Well, we talked about how the news media is really engaging in psychological terrorism. We look at like Hollywood and pop culture. That's cultural terrorism, right?
It's violent, isn't it?
It's violence being leveled against your brain and, you know, your sensibilities and our traditions and our culture and everything. You know, that's what's going on. And this is why the Jews have been able to perpetuate this agenda and advance it so quickly in, you know, the past 70, 80 years, you know, with rising technology is because they monopolize the information and the media. And I think that's changing, though, with the internet. I mean, we're able to challenge them. We're able to compete with them in a major way.
Yes.
And, you know, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I mean, we need to replace the Jewish-controlled media. And I think we could easily do that. We're in the process of doing that even.
We are, yeah. And we got a boycott the Murdoch media campaign going. We've always done it, John, but I stepped it up a little bit. And we have a boycott the Murdoch newspapers, and I put it up on our Facebook. It's going on to 300 shares in just a few days, with hundreds and hundreds of comments and people coming on board and agreeing, just simply telling people what the Murdoch papers are, the names of them, what his cable channels are, and telling people just not to buy it, that it's costing them $15 a week, it's costing you $700 a year. People know now when you go onto the Murdoch papers, they know. And aren't they, Garth? They're getting smart and they know that they're just vomiting out this disgusting, ridiculous propaganda, John. And people are not buying it anymore. And that's what we're doing on social media and with you and our websites. And so we're calling on Americans too, because you guys are suffering with it. And we're calling on everybody in Australia to not buy these newspapers, John, and not buy into these Rupert Murdoch papers and cable television shows and all of this, and just switch it all off and save your money. And you guys have it as well with the Fox News and all this. So hopefully we can get people on board this to stop funding them and giving them $2 a day to buy these rubbish newspapers, you know? I think it's important.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, rather than buying one of those papers, buy American Free Press.
Exactly.
Or the Barnes Review, or, you know, subscribe to a website like mine or your website, or, you know, support independent alternative media, the people that are actually, you know, trying to bring the truth to you in an accurate and honest way. I mean, you know, with some integrity, and that's not going on with the mainstream media.
Yes, that's correct. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, that's the power of the Jewish.
It's been too long.
The power owning the media. I mean, goodness sakes. Well, I was recently looking at a documentary on Rupert Murdoch when he took over the media in England, and how he was tied up with Maggie Thatcher at the time, and how he did it. And you know, the guy's an evil man. There's no two ways about it. But one interesting thing came out of it was that when he was young, his father sent him over to a college over there. I can't remember the name of the college, but it was one of those pretty high-level institutions. And a guy was speaking about him, and he said, yes, when he was young, he had a bust of Lenin in his room. This is the young Murdoch, before he rose to power, of course. So evidently, it seems to be that people like these social maniacs, like Lenin, I consider he was an absolute, you know, psychopath to the worst degree. I mean, what he did to Russia, I won't go into that. But, I mean, here is this young Murdoch's got a bust in his room. He evidently admired him so much. I mean, things like this sort of leave a bit of a bad taste in your mouth. And here's a guy currently telling us that we should be injecting all our children, you know, and also we should be bringing into the country everybody from everywhere else.
Well, he's got big ties, John, with pharmaceutical companies. And Rupert Murdoch's son sat on the board of GlaxoSmithKline. And so Rupert Murdoch uses his papers to sell vaccines onto our children. And now we have a state of Queensland with 1 in 50 rate of autism, which is US standards. With our low population, absolutely disgusting that this man's getting away with this, Garth, and people are buying into it. So it's unfortunate that, you know, the Australian public, John, have been weaned on the Murdoch media, but that's changing. And we're helping that. We're forcing that change and getting people to just not buy into it anymore.
That's right.
You know?
Absolutely, yeah. And you guys are doing a good job down there in Australia.
Yeah, as you said, we're the new media, and we just got to push through, you know, and keep going and keep connecting.
Yeah, it's always encouraging, you know, talking to people overseas and just connecting with like-minded people. I mean, really everywhere, you know, in America in particular. You know, I live here in America, so I'm primarily concerned with what's going on here. But you know, it's always great to connect with people from all over the world that are really, you know, engaged in the same struggle. You know, that's what's so powerful with the internet is we can connect and share information and network and coordinate things. So.
Absolutely. And as you said, John, it seems to be the same struggle. Whether it's in America, Australia, or anywhere else, it's the same struggle.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat.
The same things are happening here than what's happening on a bigger scale, of course, in America.
Yeah.
But exactly the same things are happening, and we're seeing that with, you know, I've always jumped up and down about the taxation system here, the fact that our country has a right to coin its own money. And that's a big thing in America because I've read a reasonable amount about the when they bought the Federal Reserve in leading up to it, and also the American history of how they had the two main banks against the will of some of the government people and the people themselves. But they got it in, and the same thing's happening here where, you know, our debt is increasing just like America, and everybody is concerned through the newspapers and all the garbage that's being spoken and talked about and written, that our balance of payments is the main concern when our debt is getting higher and higher and our ability to pay it back is impossible. It's becoming impossible, just like America, whereas we could be coining our own money and we're not. We're borrowing, you know, like money out of thin air from overseas bankers who control our governments. And these bankers, as we know, are Jews.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. And the pressure. I was talking to a guy today. I just went to get some gravel at Taree in my trailer. And we had a conversation on this. And he runs this business in Taree. And he was talking about how difficult it is with the taxation system. And everybody is complaining about it. And they're already talking about increasing the GST here. They're frightening people by saying we want 15%, but underneath it all, they're going to settle for 12.5%, which is a 2.5% rise. But the same thing's happening in America. They're paying more tax. We're paying more tax here and everywhere else. Well, we don't need to be doing that. But what it's doing, it's breaking people down.
Well, yeah, the whole system is really working against the white man at this point, and that's got to change. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's breaking us down.
And it seems if you go back with these, we were discussing this tribe of Judah, where the white man was the enemy way back. Going way, way back, it seems that it was the enemy of the Judahites or the Jew then. It was the white who was the main enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the white today because we see that in Europe, we see that in Sweden, we see it in England, we see it everywhere, don't we? We see this open immigration push, and it's all to do with the killing off of the white.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's really a good way of just looking at and analyzing history generally. It's the struggle between the white man and civilization and really the rest of the world. I mean, when you think about it, you know, think about what we accomplished through, you know, just exploring the whole world, colonizing the world, you know, really developing it. That's really a good way of looking at history is, you know, what the white man has been able to accomplish and, you know, the struggles with the non-white world, really.
General, our good nature and you know, our empathy and you know,
yeah,
and all of that as well.
And it doesn't
good
have
people
to be
in general.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't have to be this zero sum game where we're exploiting other people or whatever. You know, it's not like that at all. And I don't think you know, the legacy of colonialism or anything was really all about that either. I think that's another weaponized narrative of history. You know, that these Europeans were just in Africa and Asia and just totally exploiting everybody and just treating everybody like crap. I mean, I'm sure that did happen to a certain extent, but I don't think it's as black and white as, you know, mainstream history classes would present colonialism today.
No, well, when you look at
yeah,
You go back into Africa with the Boer War. I mean, it was the Rothschilds that wanted the wealth of Africa, and they controlled the policy in England. And it was the white English that went over there and fought the Boer War against the white Dutch Boers, which was
That's another theme of history is the ability of Jews to get white nations to fight each other and to kill each other.
Divide and conquer. Yes.
While advancing Jewish interests at the same time. I mean, and now we see it on a global scale.
Yeah. And
now we see
time.
It on a global scale with, the white Western, formerly Christian world, engaged in this never-ending battle against radical Islamic extremism. Which, this whole narrative, this whole paradigm of a global war on terrorism is a Jewish construct that goes back to Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu and all these other Jewish neocons in America. You know, they literally created this idea of a global war on terrorism and openly said in their own publications that they needed a new Pearl Harbor to justify the launching of this global war on terrorism and to get America to actually get involved. And that's what 9/11 was, of course. We know that now. That's very obvious. That's the history of the West, really, certainly for the past 100 or 200 years, is the ability of these Jews to, manipulate us and to fighting these disastrous, civil wars against, destroying our own race in the process.
Yes, and that's what World War One and World War Two was about, wasn't it, really? It was about the white destroying the whites.
Wow.
Absolutely, no doubt. I mean, that's exactly what it was.
And it's crazy, yet you would think we would know.
Well, while we all fight and kill each other, this enemy, John, it continues to go unseen behind the scenes, if you will. So, we're all on to it, but we need to wake up more people.
But
we
were
looking in the right direction.
The treachery. A little earlier, when John was talking about the treachery of the people, like same in America and that. This is the same through the war. We saw all that with the treachery of these other people. The whites, that was the things they committed against their fellow men was absolutely dreadful.
And these same people will protect the very system that's killing them off and hates them within them, John. That's the thing that gets me. Someone will want to punch your face in because you're trying to talk to them where, they're acting out in such a manner where they're protecting a system that, is destroying them, their children, their families, their loved ones, their culture. They're protecting that, but they just don't know it. So probably I'd say in this life, they're just not ready to receive or handle this information, yet, which is up to them. It's their journey. But we are, I'm certainly not going to protect this system, and I'm aware of it, absolutely. And I will call
I got no time for anybody like that anymore.
Yeah, me either.
I got no time.
They brutally, viciously attack you on Facebook, and they come on there unwanted, and then you try and challenge them a little bit, and you can expose them pretty quick, I just think it's unbelievable that people have sunk that far down in the quicksand that they're willing to protect the very system that's killing them off. That's a bad state of affairs for any human being to be in my view. Yeah. So, we're not like that, and we're here talking, and we'll continue to do so and continue to connect with all these wonderful people all around the place and get our information out and share each other's ideas and website info and lock up on Twitter and Facebook and use this system in a positive manner. What do you reckon, John?
What I'm all about. Yeah, and I think you guys are doing a good job of that for sure. And I totally support what you guys are doing, and I agree with everything you just said. That's my mission, really.
That book you mentioned, John, about the Romanian. Could you give us that information again?
Yeah, it's called For My Legionaries. And you can just Google that, For My Legionaries. It's by Corneliu Codrianu, originally published in 1936. I know, what's the name of that outlet? Somebody just released a new copy of it, by, I think it was by Countercurrents. I think Countercurrents actually just published something, like a new edition of the book. So that might be worth checking out.
Having a look at, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a book you want to own. It's a great read.
Sure, so, yes.
Yeah.
I'll check on that.
Anything you want to get out before we plug out for today, John? Any, your website info, your shows that you do, anything at all? We didn't get to go through the France terror attacks, you know, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure most
people
would. You know
what, I'll just say briefly on the whole Paris situation. I was actually traveling the day that it happened, and I was away from my computer pretty much all day. So I didn't really know what was going on, and I didn't even have really a chance to investigate it too much until I think it would have been Sunday night. It happened on a Friday, and I don't think I really had a chance to sit down at my computer until like Sunday. So, you know, of course, it was very suspicious. The official narrative was, as always, full of holes and just really kind of just ridiculous. And then you guys sent me over a video just the other day that I watched. It was like 10 minutes, and you know, it definitely raises a lot of questions. You know, these events are all so typical.
Yeah, I'm going to put that video up today accompanying this just so people can have a look. But it's they're all the same events, aren't they? Always the same method.
It is. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it really is the same method. You'll notice you always immediately have these big public rituals where everybody's gathered, you know, to say prayers and, you know, these big memorial services. So that really emotionally traumatizes people and gets them to buy into it. It's scientifically done. I mean, really, it is.
It is.
They know what they're doing.
I do.
And I mean, I tend to think that it's more than likely. I don't want to say it's a total hoax, but you know, these events, you know, you never know. It's just certainly what the government and media are saying is not an accurate depiction of what happened. There's no doubt about that.
Does seem to be a drill happening as well in Paris. The morning before there was a drill going on, so that's what they always do. So. Some people may have been shot or killed thinking they were participating in the drill. You never know, but very suspicious as we look, dig more into it. But we have now in Brussels and these places, they're going into sort of a military police state lockdown, which is not good for anybody. You know, it's a real worry, and we're getting that here now, John.
Just like the Boston bombing.
Yeah, yep. The New South Wales police, where I live in New South Wales, they've been given shoot to kill law, shoot to kill laws have gone through, and now they're up there now talking about all these really restrictive draconian anti-terror laws they're going to keep pushing through onto the Australian people while they just push fear through the media. But I did notice on the 2 days that I watched the Paris attacks that the media here, they were just continually playing the same images and saying the same things on all the channels. So like 9/11, we know, when 9/11 was happening, all the information was only coming from maybe one or two sources, and they were just repeating what the sources told them to. That's what the media do. They just repeat what they're told to say. So, you know, and then they keep putting down the bottom of the TV screen, terror attack, you know, and all these words they use. And people, you know, they come in and they sit down, they get locked into it, and they're being told what to see. Like on 9/11, you were told the buildings came down, the terrorists did it, Osama bin Laden did it, and they were telling you what to think and how to react and act without. But with these situations, when you step back and you just put all that aside and you just turn down the volume and you just think of yourself and you watch what's going on, you get a different picture.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, again, it just sort of reinforces the point that we were making earlier, and that is, you know, we have to turn off the television and stop just blindly accepting what these people are telling us, especially about these major events.
Powerful thing, isn't it, John? To commit an act like that, and then have the media worldwide to just spin. It's amazing power they have. Enough?
Well, I think the media, in fact, creates a lot of these events themselves. You know, I don't even know if some of them are actual happenings in the real world.
Yeah, I mean, the coffee shop or whatever it was that Evan Lee had there was an attack there. I mean, there was a couple of chairs tipped over and we didn't see any bomb going off. There was no blood, there was no bodies anywhere, but they're just telling you there is. You know?
Yeah, well, exactly. All the details are going to be probably sussed out by, you know, very diligent researchers on YouTube and other websites. But needless to say, you know, the official mainstream media and government version of what happened over in Paris is very suspect and, you know, really kind of just unbelievable to a large extent, in my opinion.
Shows you how bold they're getting.
But that's regardless. It's regardless. Even if it was true, you know, it just further underscores the fact that all these Muslims, all these invaders, they have to go home. They have no business being in Europe or America.
Nope.
They have to go home.
There's
no way these people can be in their countries.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an absolute disaster. And, you know, we need to start dealing with these issues and talking frankly about them.
Yes, yeah, certainly. Yeah, my goodness, yes.
European forces could clean that up pretty quick and get them back. You know, pick them up and get them back. It doesn't have to be violent or anything, you know. They can go in and just round them all up and get them out of there. You know?
Right. We could do it. We will do it. Let's get Donald Trump in the White House, and it's definitely happening in America.
Yeah, you guys have got a beautiful country there like we do here, and, you know, we want to see that thrive and continue. You know, America's – I haven't been there. I want to go someday, you know, but you guys have got a beautiful land there. And, you know, you need to preserve it and protect it and do it the right way, you know. And I just, as I said before, I just don't think Australia, America, Europe is a place for these Muslims. I've got nothing against them in their countries, but I just don't think it's good for them here. That's all. It just doesn't work.
It's not good for us.
It's not good for anybody. And,
you can't,
you know,
mix these cultures.
You just
there's
can't.
No doubt about
and
it.
And it's just causing problems. And, you know, and no one can tell me that the Europeans and the Americans and don't have the know-how and the military muscle and police power to not go around fairly quickly in a few weeks and round them up and get them out.
Absolutely. Well, so, I mean, yeah, we can with ease. This is no problem for our guys. You know, we'd even have – I know certainly in America, we'd even have people, just regular civilians that would be more than willing to help out and facilitate this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of them, you know. Call
me up. Might get around to that, John.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, you might see me down there on the border booting a legal over, you know, right over the line. No, but really, I
That'd
mean,
racist,
yeah, we could do this, no problem, you know.
And we can do it. The thing is, John, just quickly before we go, just looking at Sweden, you know, the average Swedish, like in Australia and America, the average Swede, just because I heard something about this, who's working, they're paying for these people to come in there and go on benefits because we have quite a wealthy benefit system in Australia. And now we have actual people with brains in our government saying that they need to stop these payments to anybody who's coming in here as a refugee. The problem being is that the people smugglers, these corrupt people, are getting these people to come on boats into Australia, and they know that we have a welfare system here. So once they get their foot in the door and they have a baby, they can get paid more than you would having a normal job. They get paid very well. And so this needs to be stopped. The welfare system needs to be used for the people at home in the proper way. That's the problem. So we have countries like Sweden and in Europe and Australia and Germany where the people are working their asses off paying high taxes, as we do, for these people to come in and be on the dole and not learn the language and not integrate into the society. And it's just going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster all around. And you're going to get once beautiful cities starting to collapse and corrode and rot within as you get more crime and less jobs, and then you get the traditional people of those lands moving out to the country areas and getting out of there like they're doing in London, which is a real shame. And you don't want Europe and America and all these places to start resembling Detroit City, which was once one of the most, you know, wealthiest amazing cities in the world, and look at it now. You know, it's really scary. Detroit should be a real message, a real wake-up call for Americans to look at that and say, we don't want our country to be that. No offense to Detroit City, but from what I know, it's pretty much gone.
Yep. So, oh, it is, no doubt. Yeah.
And it's just crime and, you know, and no one who's going to want to be there. And, you know,
exactly.
People are saying that about London. They don't want to be there anymore. It's just Muslims and crime, and it's not the way it was, and that's bad. You know, you don't want that for these countries. It's not fair. on these countries that we all built and worked so hard to keep so clean and beautiful and running, functioning well. It's all going to go. I just can't understand why our own leaders would want this as well. They're so traitorous. It's just disgusting.
Yeah. Anyway. Well said. I agree.
It makes me sick, you know, that our own people, our own so-called leaders can do this, Garth, and just be so treacherous and traitorous and just want to buy into this, you know, just because of a paycheck, John. It just really sucks. So hopefully we can start forcing these people out anyway.
Absolutely. I agree, man. Anyway, well, hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
All the best, John.
Your website, John, it's therealistreport.com. And anything else you want to mention, go out with? Do a radio show on rent still?
My website's therealistreport.com. You can go over there. I'd recommend subscribing by email. You'll just get a brief email notification every time a new post goes up.
Cool.
And I'm usually posting, you know, once a day. You know, it just kind of depends, once or twice a day at the most. But yeah, that's just an easy way to follow the site. I also write for American Free Press, which is America's last real newspaper. It's a great print publication. You know, it's we mail it out all over the country and even internationally. You know, so people can check them out at AmericanFreePress.net. And then I also write for the Barnes Review, which is a historical review magazine. Really the last revisionist publication still available in the United States today and really, you know, all over the world. So that's a great, great publication as well. Their website's barnesreview.org. You know, anybody can follow me on Twitter or on Facebook. Those links are right on my website.
I'll put that up. Did you get a new job? So, did you get a new job? Because you lost your job, didn't you?
Kind of. I mean, I have a couple jobs, and you know, I'm pretty much just working for myself. I'm gonna have some updates on my website soon.
Nice.
People can subscribe and kind of support the radio show and what we're doing. So
good.
I'll have those details up soon.
Cool.
But yeah, I think I'm optimistic. I'm encouraged, and I think we're gonna be able to do this on a big time level here. You know, in the very near future.
Oh, yeah. Gee, the first time we had you on this podcast, we had about 38 countries listening. So nearly 40 countries. So you're very because you put the link up on your website and our people listened in. So a lot of people follow the Realist Report and your work, John, because you do things the correct way. You're a real gentleman. Your research is real to the point and blunt. And you're like Kevin MacDonald. You're sort of someone who reminds me of Kevin MacDonald, actually, because you're sort of like a scholar and you put information out there in the correct manner. I lose my temper a little bit, as Garth does. It's our Irish blood. We get a bit excitable. You know, Irish, Scottish ancestry, we get a bit excited and I lose my temper and I have to go and cool down. But you do things in a very cool and calculated manner, and I think it brings a lot of really intelligent people on board to follow your work. And I think that you could kind of start doing something like even Red Eyes do, where you get subscribers and start sort of going further with what you're doing as well, which would be great.
Yeah, I sure hope so. And I think it will probably work out like that at some point. Man, I appreciate those comments. That was very, very nice of you to say. I mean, I sort of just have my own style, I guess, when it comes to blogging, especially, you know, the stuff that I put on my website. I try to do it in a way that's legitimate and credible, but like I really want to emphasize, you know, the main points I'm trying to communicate to the world. So I do try to put it very bluntly and, you know, sort of in your face and, you know,
It's with the sort of material that you're putting out. We cover a lot of things and we like to catch up with you guys and go into this, but you're putting out some very sensitive stuff and you have to do it in a certain way. That's what I mean.
If you're
too full on about it, they can get you and they can bring you down.
The main thing is I do try to do it in a scholarly fashion and really a lot of times I'm just quoting Jews themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm just highlighting what these people themselves are saying or have said in the past. You know, that's really what it boils down to. So we can document everything we're saying here.
It's true. In Australia, as Garth knows, we have new racial vilification laws, which have been brought in by Jewish groups, and it's pretty scary. You've got to be careful what you say. If you say something that offends them, they can actually dob you in or whatever through these new racial vilification laws, and you can get up to 3 to 5 years prison. So, yeah, you know, it's
total Bolshevik tyranny.
And it's all to protect migrants and, you know, people from other lands, but it's not to protect Australian people. You know, I mean, you know, it's absolutely unbelievable. You know, a Chinese guy could live next door and do something that angers you, and you could swear at him, and he could dob you in under these new laws. And you could be in deep trouble.
Yeah. You know,
it's really scary, and they've just intensified them, actually. So it's a real worry. You know, Australians are walking on eggshells, you know, not to say anything. You know, so it's... But these people are allowed to come in here and openly display their religious beliefs and culture and everything they want to. But it's like we're sort of allowed to sort of say anything like the Europeans. Otherwise, it's sort of insensitive. And, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah,
but
it's so, getting old.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I bless you for that. Godspeed for that. And I know Garth feels the same, because you're doing a great service for everyone, and you're doing it with that great temperament, and you're putting out information. It's awesome. So good work, man.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And it was very nice chatting with both you fine gentlemen.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Enjoyed it. Yes.
Okay. Nice. Thanks, guys.
All the best, John.
Chat again soon, mate. Take care.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay.